a subject that we started on this morning. So I want you to go to Mark chapter 9. And we're going to look at especially verse 29. Because we talked about that this morning, about the disciples asking why they could not cast the demon out of the little boy. And Jesus gave them an answer. We're going to talk about this answer just a little bit further before we move on in Mark 9. So that answer comes in chapter 9, verse 29. So Jesus said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And, you know, First of all, I'd like to notice that he says this kind. What does that infer when we think about that? This kind. Maybe there's different kinds of demonic strongholds, right? And maybe some of them are a little bit harder to expel than others, is maybe my thought on it. That's just a very elementary look at it. I don't know that we can build a whole theology off of it. It lets us know that most definitely demonic powers and oppressions are for real. They really do happen. We don't want to get mystified or too freaked out by it, and we also don't want to get too drawn to it. They say, it's been said of us Baptist preachers that we think that, many of us think that there's a demon behind every tree. I don't think that, but I also think that, you know, Jesus and his disciples cast out demons. So they're for real. They were for real then. I don't think that they're any less for real now. They're still a reality, and they're going to be a reality until they're thrown into the lake of fire. And so we're going to have to continue to deal with it. Now, Satan, we know, during a particular time, which I think is the millennial reign, is going to be put into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years so that he can't deceive the nations. This isn't 1,000 years yet, so he must be available to deceive the nations. Amen? So why are the nations deceived right now? Because Satan's he's good at what he does. And unless we have the power of God to be able to see through that, and we have discernment, I've been praying for us to have discernment. I think discernment is a good thing, a good spiritual thing for us to have. It's a gift. And we notice that in the spiritual gifts, they're given out in different measures, different people, for different times. And man, do we ever need discernment today. Because I'm going to say, there's so many things coming at us, we have got to be able to tell what to focus on. And God knows what to focus on, so he can give us the gift of discernment so that we can know what to focus on. And to be able to discern between right teachings and wrong teachings, right spirits and wrong spirits, and always discernment will come and be kind of brought together by the Word of God. So we have to be students of the Word of God. Whenever anyone asks me what's my vision for the ministry here, or what's my focus as the pastor, it is to disciple people, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It is so important that we be discipled in God's Word. And this can't be just one meal a week, and it can't be just one, you know, or 10 meals a year or whatever. You eat meals physically on a regular basis to keep your body strong. And I think we need to eat those spiritual meals on a regular basis to keep our spirit strong. And so it's my aim and goal and my vision as the pastor to feed you the Word of God in such a way that it makes you even more hungry, so that you will go home and be self-feeders of the Word of God on a regular basis. And so as we do, we will have a healthy church, and we're going to have a healthy congregation, and the healthy congregation is going to want to serve the living God because they're experiencing the living God each and every day. And I can tell you, if Jesus is your goal, if he is your joy, if getting into the Word and understanding more about him is what helps you get up in the morning, then whenever you go out that door, you're going to have no other choice but to give him glory and want to talk about him whenever you encounter other people. And, you know, you talk about witnessing training and things of that nature. Sure, there's some mechanical parts of it that maybe we could kind of learn and duplicate. But the number one thing is to be filled with the Word of God and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And both of those are tied to our time spent with Jesus in the Word. It is so utterly just important and necessary. And so as we look at this verse 29, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And as we look at that, we of course focus in on the prayer. So what's the fasting got to do with? Did they have any times that Old Testament Israel fasted? There were times they did during emergency. And there were times, there was one time of the year, every year, that they were called to afflict themselves, is what it says in the scripture. And it was at the Day of Atonement. And so what did that word afflict mean? It meant to fast for the day. And so whenever you look at that and it says afflict yourselves, and so, you know, we understand it's probably not going to be comfortable to our flesh, right? So whatever type of fast that we choose, it's not going to be comforting to our flesh. But let me ask you something. Does fasting intensify the prayers to the Lord? I believe it absolutely does. If you look at whenever Jonah went to a pagan place called Nineveh, and the people of Assyria, which were a very wicked nation in the book of Jonah, he went and he reluctantly went. You all know the story. He refused to go. He'd rather die than go. Because he knew God was merciful, and if he preached repentance to them, they might just do it. And he hated them so bad he didn't want to see them saved. But he eventually was spit out by the great fish that was formed just to swallow him up out of the depth of the sea to keep him from dying. He wasn't going to die till he did what he was told. I like it. Oh my goodness. Yeah, he did. I bet he did. I bet it stunk in there. What do y'all think? Yeah, and he got spit out. And he was told, now go preach to Nineveh. And whenever he did, what did Nineveh do? They repented. And how did they show their repentance? They fasted. And their leader, a pagan man, said, called for a fast of the entire nation, even their animals. And he said, we are going to fast and seek this God, the Lord, and we're going to ask him to forgive us, and maybe he'll relent and not destroy us. And I'm going to say, God relented. And he did not destroy them, at least for another 100 years, folks. Wouldn't you like to see another 100 years of evangelism happening in our nation? Wouldn't you just love to see all your family members have an opportunity to come to the Lord? Because if Jesus comes back tonight, that opportunity's done. If they die to stand before him, the opportunity's done. So we're praying. And the only reason why I pray for more time isn't for me. It's for those who haven't accepted yet. For those unreached people groups that we see, you know, especially in that 1040 window where you see where the persecution's the heaviest. That's where the greatest amount of lostness is. It explains why the persecution's the heaviest there. Most of those nations, less than 2% Christian in many of the larger areas of them. We've got to understand that it's so imperative that we seek the Lord. And so then I'm gonna kind of go from that to the thought that y'all know 2 Chronicles 7:14. Can anybody maybe recite that for me? Okay, so that part. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, afflict themselves. You see the similarity? Humble and affliction. Afflict yourself as on the Day of Atonement. Humble ourselves as Assyria did, as Nineveh did. I'm just going to say, I don't like the thought of fasting any more than anybody else because it afflicts us. It afflicts our flesh. And I know it can look different for all of us. You know, one of the best fasts that I ever did was media. I gave up TV. I used to be an avid TV watcher. I could not stand to miss my favorite series. I loved it when the new season started. And whatever it was, you know, it would come on, and I loved, you know, I would think about the music that played before it. I would the next day be thinking about, you know, the wonderful plot line and the way my hero of the story acted and all of this. And one month, God just called us to fast from it completely for a month. And I can say, we never turned it back on. We got to the end of the month and I started turning it back on and I thought, is that what I was watching? I wasn't paying attention to that part. That's bad. That isn't what God would have me do. If Jesus were sitting right here, I would be totally embarrassed. And it was like Jesus said, I am sitting right there. I'm living in you. I am sitting right where you're sitting, buddy. And I don't like it. That's not building you up. And you say you don't have time to read the Bible? How much time you spend in looking at that box? That was one of the best fasts I ever did, and it afflicted my flesh. And it humbled me. But I can say it was one of the best humility experiences I've ever had. It changed the course of the rest of my life. You know, I don't know that I'd be standing up here, because it happened a long time before I started really studying the Bible in a big way, and that's whenever I got called to preach. And that's whenever I started really growing in the Lord. That was one of the best, and it didn't involve food. But at times, God will show you it does need to involve food. Different fasts for different times. Let God lead you. But I think He sees it as a humility before Him that we want to seek Him and we want to get distractions out of the way. And I can say, we think Satan's the only enemy we got. Flesh. And we live in it. It's really hard to see past it sometimes. It really gets in our way. And so, fasting is a way to try to help get the flesh out of the way. Sometimes, you know, I wonder, how often? How long? How much? Well, I prayed and I asked God, and this time God said, we need to have a challenge of 21 days at the beginning of the year. We just, he wants us to do that. And so I want to show you that I'm not just making this stuff up. I know you all know the Bible, but we're going to go over a few more verses here, and we're going to look at what is this supposed to look like. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes that I've fasted, all I did was be hungry. Did you ever experience that? You tried to fast, and all you could think about was how hungry you were. Whatever it was you'd given up, you just didn't know that you could live without it. And then I kept focusing on that. But really what God wants us to do is remove something of the flesh so that we can open it up to the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to fill that area. And so Jesus speaks of this in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 16. This is right after He teaches the Lord's model prayer. We all know that. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. I'm sure you guys can repeat it with me. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, verse 14, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Now, He reiterates the forgiveness issue. As we fast, I think we need to be searching our hearts and asking ourselves, is there anyone we need to forgive? He does not want us harboring unforgiveness in our hearts for anyone. And if we do, it's going to hinder our prayers. And He says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Man, He doubled up on that. In the Lord's model prayer, we are to pray, forgive us as we forgive others. And now He better explains what He's talking about. If we want to be forgiven, we need to be willing to forgive. And then He has the moreover. That's kind of like it's continuing in the thought here. In verse 16, moreover, when you fast, Thank you. That word's important. When you fast, not if, right? I can tell you, I've looked around the New Testament, and I don't see thou shalt fast anywhere in it. Thou shalt fast on June the 2nd. Thou shalt fast. It doesn't do that for us. He wants us to do it in a relationship with Him, and He's saying we will. And He's saying when we do it. When we do it, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And then, and I think we just need to continue into that next verse. That's the part that really focuses on fasting. But here's the most important part. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, like, I'm just going to be honest with you. Whenever I'm fasting, and maybe I see that wonderful piece of cake, or that, oh man, you know, my big weakness if I was fasting, you know, throughout the day or whatever, is if I smelled a good steak, you know, and I couldn't have it. You know what? I need to see that I'm getting something better. There's something better than a good steak. And that's having a right relationship with the Lord, and that's working toward walking with Him. And I'll still get to have a good steak someday. You see? But I'm not laying up my treasure just on earth at that moment. I'm laying up my treasure in heaven. I'm sending it forth. I'm humbling myself for a purpose to get something. Isn't that what Jesus said? Don't do it to get something from the person by saying, look, I'm fasting. I really, look at me. I'm really sacrificing over here. Don't do that, because then you've gotten your reward. But He's saying do it in secret so your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So, you know, we think, well, it's just terrible to do something to get something, but Jesus is saying, do it to get something. Do it to get a closer relationship with God. Do it so that He will reward you. Expect a reward. Want it. Desire it. Go toward it. Do you want a reward for our nation right now? Wouldn't you love to see our nation truly have a revival? Is it worth it? Would it be worth it? Well, sometimes we fast and we don't see immediate results. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to go back in time just a little bit to the prophet Isaiah, because they had times of fasting in the Old Testament as well. And sometimes they just did it because it was kind of demanded of them, or maybe it was to try to twist God's arm to give them what they wanted. That isn't what He means to do it for an open reward. And your open reward will be as you have that closeness with God. You're going to see that He has a plan. And we might actually see what we're praying for come to pass. As we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. But you see, if we do it just in pretense, and we do it just for the appearance, and we do it not with the right heart, and we do it and don't forgive our those who we have something against, we might be doing it for nothing. So, you know, God may not even hear our prayer. So let's pray that we can have a right heart whenever we do it. And that's what He says here in Isaiah chapter 58. He says, cry aloud, verse 1, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. They say, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls? And you take no notice. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? And then he goes on to say, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. Is that what you want to see? Do you want to see the bonds of wickedness loosed in the people in your family? Do you want to see the bonds of wickedness loosed in our community? Do you want to see the bonds of wickedness loosed in all the people that are addicted to drugs? Addicted to pornography? Addicted, you know, they say 60% of the men or more, even in the church, are viewing pornography on a regular basis. I've heard as high as 65%. Do we want to see those bonds loosed? What about all the people that are being exploited by that? Do we want to see the bonds loosed? God's saying that's His purpose for a fast. That's what He calls a fast. When we're doing it with right heart, not just to be seen by others, not just to argue that, man, you really should do this, you really should. He don't want us arguing about that. He's saying if your heart is led to, you know He's going to hear you do it so that these bonds of wickedness can be broken, loosed. He goes on to say, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. You want to see human trafficking stopped? It's a spiritual battle as much or more than it is a physical battle. We really need to be in it spiritually. That you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Guys, what we found is when we don't eat as much, we got more to give other people. I'm trying to talk all of our kids into going along with this. We have a lot of food to give away. No, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see, how about that? I mean, when maybe even when you're not eating anything, you still make a meal for your neighbor. You're saying, well, that's crazy, because then I'm going to be smelling it, and it's going to make me even more hungry. It does. I can remember a time when we were going through a time of fasting, we were still having people over for Friday night Bible study, you know? And we were making dinner for them, and they're like, you know, we noticed you guys ain't eating. We were trying not to tell them, but we just weren't. You know, we didn't cancel the Bible study. We tried to sneak around and act like we were putting stuff on our plates, but they're too sharp. They figured it out. You know, God has a plan, and He wants us to just be holy and completely devoted to Him. And you can take just a small period of time to do this. No, and I, you know, I always want to qualify, and I understand, you know, there's issues with diabetes and things like that. You have to have something. It don't have to be the same, and it don't have to be as much, and it don't have to be as decadent, and it, you know, maybe you just give up sweets. I don't know. Maybe, you know, there's been times whenever I gave up coffee. I know, big time sacrifice. That's tough. Oh, no. I can tell you guys, if God's called you to it, it'll be worth it. And that's what He wants us to do, is to stride forward toward Him, to break these things. He goes on to say, when you see the naked that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth. Forth like the morning. Isn't that what we want? We want that part. We want our light to break forth like the morning. You are the light of the world. That's what He said. You were once darkness, Paul said. Now you are light. Jesus is the light of the world, and He wants to shine through us. We got to get us out of the way. Then He can shine. That's what He wants. He said, your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. It's an if-then proposition. We got to get us out of the way so that God will see Jesus in us. Because Jesus, everything that's prayed in the name of Jesus will be done. We need God the Father to see Jesus in us. It's the only thing that is pleasing to Him. You shall cry, and He will say, "Here I am." It's not about just getting what we want. It's about getting God out of the... and getting Him closely, to walk with Him closely. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Are you hearing that? Like, whenever we become light, we get us out of the way, then the darkest that we would ever be would be like noon. That's not very dark. At noon, the sun's at its brightest. And He's saying, that's as dark as you'll get if you'll let me shine through you. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach. Don't we want to be known for that? Wouldn't you love for history to look back on us if we were to have another 100 years? And they say, we remember that generation of Christians that finally humbled themselves. They finally got on their faces before God, and it looked so bad. But we saw a change. That's what I want to be remembered for. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. See, right along with submitting ourselves to Him in that way of fasting, He's saying, set apart that time for me, where I'm it. I'm going to tell you, it's hard for me not to do any real physical work on Sundays. I am such a workaholic. I can always find 1,000 things to do. But I really try to set that day aside just for the Lord. I really do. And not as a law. And you know, just I never preach on that and try to institute that as some kind of law on anybody. But I'm going to say that I think it pleases God when we put Him first. You know, He's not asking for much. Really, He's not. He just wants everything. And it starts by us just setting ourselves apart for Him. And you know what? It shouldn't be a burden to us. What we're going to find is it'll be a delight. Whenever God really speaks to us, whenever we know He's really heard our prayers, whenever we know that He's responding, then wow, how amazing will it be? It goes on. I mean, we could read on throughout Isaiah, but I really just wanted to focus in on that issue of what a fast is really to look like. It ain't just about what you're going to give up. It's about what you're going to receive. That's what He wants it to be about. It ain't about just making sure you're real hungry and you got a real long face and everybody else can tell it. You know, and I know you guys ain't like that. But it's not about other people knowing. In fact, we need to do our best if they don't. You know? The only reason why I share it before you guys is because I'm your pastor. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not one of those guys that runs around saying, you know, that the Lord told me, you know, this and all that a lot, unless I really believe it. But I believe God's showing me that it's going to get harder to be a Christian in the United States of America. You know, we've been hoping 2020 would get over with, so 2021 might be easier. 2020's over with. But I don't know that 2021 is going to be easier. But it could be better, in that we might see more spiritual growth. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to come with a price. It really is. I don't think that Christians are getting more popular right now. I don't think we're getting more popular in our nation. I don't know if you guys have noticed. We didn't get in this deal to be popular, folks. We got into this because God called us to be His children. And He promised us one thing. And whenever He promised His disciples, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And so as we speak God's word, don't expect everybody to be thrilled with it. But I will say, I think a lot of people are going to get saved. I think people are wanting something to hang on to right now. And I think as we fast and pray to prepare ourselves for this year, you notice Jesus didn't stop and go, well, could you keep your little boy over here for just a little while longer? Because I need to go over and pray and fast first. No, He had already prepared Himself for that moment. It was what He had done earlier before He ever got to that place that He was speaking of to His disciples. And so I want to be prepared as a church body for what this year is going to hold. And so as we do, prepare ourselves. Let's prepare ourselves expecting for God to inspire us and bless us and show us His heart. You know, and your prayers may be a little different than my prayers. And your prayers may be a little different than your neighbor's prayers. But you know what? If we're seeking God together, and we're asking Him to reveal things to us, I think then as we do it together, we're going to have a better, fuller picture of what it looks like. Really do. So, as we follow Jesus, let's keep our eyes on Him. Let's remember that He is giving us a command that comes with promise. He's saying, we will do this, and when we do, there's a promise attached to it. There's going to be relationship that is going to be connected. We are going to have more of a heart for the poor. We are going to have more of a heart for closeness with Him. And we are going to see an outpouring of His Spirit. And so those are the things that we need to see. Now I can tell you one mistake I've made in the past. I have fasted and prayed sometimes, almost demanding that God do things my way. And I have ended up disappointed every time. I would really warn us against doing it for that. Don't just do it demanding our way be done. Let's just seek God for His will to be done. And that He will open doors and break bonds that only He can do. And I know we've all got loved ones. We would love to see Him totally set free. Amen? Oh, I would. God wants to. Let's do it together. Anybody have any thoughts or questions?